Today, as Luke had mentioned, as the worship team had mentioned, is the beginning of our 40-day journey. And if you were not here last week, we talked about a few initiatives that we wanted to do as our church walks towards Easter. Just to give you a quick recap in case you missed out, we are on a journey of faith over the next 40 days, and we want to invite you to pick up a little sort of packet at the info table or from the office. And the packet kind of looks like this, just an envelope. It's not super fancy, but it's got a nice little label on there that did up. For the next 40 days as a church, there's a few things that we're going to do, a few initiatives, as I said, that we're going to do. We're going to camp in the book of Matthew. From a preaching side, I'm going to preach through six parables of Jesus from the book of Matthew over the next 6 weeks. Secondly, we want you to read the book of Matthew in your quiet times over the next 40 days. And so in your packet there, in the little thing, you will see, I will open it up and I will show you what you're looking for. You will see a little bookmark that looks like this, 40 Days of Faith, and on it is just the reading for the 40 Days of Faith. It's kind of broken down into smaller chunks. And so for some of you, that's, you know, you're going to read that and you're going to say, hey, that's only 17 verses, or that's not enough for me. And so in the letter that's in here, I kind of encourage you just to, you know, read it more than once. Read it a second time. You may not want to do it that way. You may just want to read Matthew straight through in large chunks. You know, there are two kinds of people, as Owen used to remind me, there are two kinds of people. There are rule followers and rule breakers. And so if you're a rule follower, you want to go day one, day two, day three. If you want to shoot off on your own, you know what? I don't really care. Just read the book of Matthew. That's kind of the point of our time together. And so you can go for it. I would encourage you, though, to stay with Matthew for the 40 days. And so when you're finished, if you want to read it in large chunks, you want to do that, you go for it. But then go back to the beginning. Start it again. And our desire really is to soak a bit in this particular gospel, to meditate in Matthew. There was a conference where this instructor had told the class to write down what they saw when they looked at three verses. And she said to the class, she said, you know, you have a half an hour to do this. Here are your three verses. They were very common verses. And for most people, you know, you look at the verses, you've seen it 100 times, you look at it, takes 5 minutes, you write down your thoughts around it. And then they sat there. And they could not think of anything else, as maybe it would be like us. But they kept looking and thinking. And then after 10 minutes, they discovered some new things. After 15 minutes, a few more. And by the end of the time, the instructor, after the half an hour was up, the instructor asked, so how many of you found the most profound truths after 5 minutes? Not a single person stuck up the hand. All the things that they thought they knew, all the things that were just kind of there, they didn't find their most profound truths in that moment. How about after 10 minutes, she asked, and no one put up their hand. After 15 minutes, a few people put up their hand. But by and large, it was after 25 minutes on these three verses. They thought they knew the text already, and so they just kind of glossed over it, or they flew over it. But when they took their time with it, and were in a way forced to meditate on it, only a few verses, it opened up some very profound things. And so our desire is that we want to really engage Jesus through Matthew over the next 40 days. Now, I know for some, like I said, that's going to seem really slow. And I know as we walk through the book, the Bible in 2 years, I know I heard some, hey, I don't get a chance to stop and study it. Well, now we're like throwing on the brakes, and you get a chance to really meditate and to study the book of Matthew over the next 40 days. Next, we want to prayer walk our neighborhood. We want to pray over the people and families in Lynn Valley. And so you'll see a map on the wall by the men's washroom. This is it's basically a 2-kilometer radius around our church. And over the next 40 days, we want to cover every street on the map. And so when you leave today, I encourage you to go and look at the map, and Mel will be there. She'll give you directions and tell you all the things you need to know about it. There's not really much. Basically, you take a marker and you mark off what you're going to walk that week. And hopefully that over the course of the 40 days, we'll be able to walk through our neighborhood and to pray over the houses and the apartment buildings and really about the families that live in our community. And if you have questions, like I said, yeah, just talk to Mel or myself or someone else, and we'll be happy to let you know. As we walk along next Saturday, we're going to have a prayer meeting. We're calling the church to prayer at 6:30 p.m. Next Saturday. There will be a worship team who will be here. There will be kids' stuff downstairs, and also they're going to join us for a little bit and then go downstairs too. In the past we've invited you to prayer, but this is really a call as a church to prayer. And so if you only come to one prayer meeting in the entire year, come to this one. This is our invitation and our call to our church. In your package, all of this kind of stuff is outlined. Also, in there, you'll find this little card, and I'll just show you what this little card looks like if you haven't picked one up. It just is very simply looks like this, and you can keep it with you. And we're asking you to do a couple of things on it. You'll see two little question things on it. And the first is write down, over the next 40 days, what am I going to trust God with? And write it down on the one side that says, what are you trusting God with? What are you going to trust him with over these next little while? Are you in need of a job? Is it a medical diagnosis, anxiety, fear of the future, loneliness, a relationship? I guess the real question is really, what will you release from your hands and put into the hands of Jesus? And as you do, you ask him, you come to him over the next 40 days, and you just really, as you give it over to him, you say, Jesus, I thank you that you will take this, but now what are you calling me to do with this? What kind of steps of faith do I need to take in regards to this, with what you want to accomplish with this? And then begin to step out as he leads. On the other side of the card is a place for you to put one thing that you are fasting from. We're asking you to fast one thing over 40 days. And maybe it's going to be social media or technology or sugar or caffeine. Not caffeine for me. That's not an option. or time or money. But what is the one thing, that as you give up, it's going to force you to constantly be coming back and to remind you of your identity and who you are? I remember there was a time for a while, sometimes I'll go just fast one day a week for a number of weeks, and every time I kind of feel like I get hungry, I ask Jesus, I say, Lord, would this physical hunger that I'm feeling, whenever I feel that, I would say, Lord, would you create that in me spiritually, that I would have this real spiritual hunger for you, Lord Jesus? And so we really want this fast, not as a sacrifice to show how dedicated we are, but a fast to really connect us in with the Lord over these next number of weeks together. And so we'll be forced to remember that whoever it is, my identity is found in Jesus. That one thing, what is that one thing for you that'll draw you in to Jesus, that will cause you to remember over the next 40 days? What is it that will invade your everyday life to remind you of who you are and whose you are? On the back wall, as Luke mentioned, by the ladies' room there, we invite you to write there these couple of things if you want. You can just write on the wall. This is the second time, I think, we'll say write on the wall. Usually we say don't write on the walls, but this time we're saying write on the wall. And so my wife will be back there after the after the first service, and she can help you if you need. We have a white pen for the mountain and a black pen for the other side, and the staff have already put theirs up there. You don't have to sign it. It just kind of goes public in a way. It's publicly anonymous. That's what it is. And so we wrote ours up there. But as you go by it, and as you look at it over the next 40 days, one, it might inspire you to see what other people are doing, but also that maybe you could pray for people. Is there trusting God with a job? I'd encourage you, hey, I see someone trusting God for a job, but I just want to pray along with them and for them. And so we encourage you just to do that. And so our 40 days of faith, it's our journey over the next 40 days to grow in our faith, that we might be able to put more of our weight, as we talked a little bit about last week, that we might be able to put more of our weight on Jesus, more of our trust in Jesus. And my prayer for us is that we will be a little different when Easter rolls around this year, that we will look more like Jesus than we do right now. And so these little envelopes, they'll explain everything that you need. And if you need clarification, you can ask the elders or you can ask the staff or the person at the info table, and they'll help you out. So with that, we are starting our first parable today. And so the title of my message, you will see on your bulletin, it's called Responding to Jesus. And the big idea is that it doesn't matter where you are at when you come to Jesus. What matters is how you respond to him. It doesn't matter where you're at. What matters is how you respond to him. How we listen, it matters. In life, there are times when we are good listeners, and there are times when we are bad listeners. I'm getting better at listening, but I'll tell you, this has been a work in progress on numerous fronts for me. When I'm focused on something, I don't know if anybody else identifies with this, but when I'm focused with something, my dad was the same way. I'm a very bad listener. You could ask me almost anything, and I would probably say, yep, go for it. My kids could say, Dad, can I take the car and build a jump and take our minivan off of it? And when I am focused on something, I probably say, yeah, that's fine. Keys are over there. When I'm thinking about something else, I really can't hear what's going on. Kind of like that teacher on Charlie Brown. Do you remember Charlie Brown? And he would always be teaching, and all adults, I don't think any adult had an intelligible voice, but it would be the wah, 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 wah. That's basically what I hear, and my response is, yeah, sure, whatever. Or maybe you've been in a situation where someone is talking about something and you think you have a good idea on this topic, and essentially you're just waiting for them to stop talking so that you can talk. Well, that can happen to me. I'm always reminding myself, just listen, be in the present moment. And then my brain says to me, I have this internal wrestling, you know, my brain says to me, if you listen, though, you might lose that great response that you have. To which I'm constantly kind of fighting that and saying, you know, that's a chance I got to be willing to take. If it gets lost, then it gets lost. But I need to listen in this moment. And when you actually listen to someone, it's amazing what you hear. I think oftentimes we listen more than just with our ears. We also listen with our eyes, you know, as we really engage somebody, as we listen, we see body movements and facial expressions, and you hear certain tone inflections. And it's really amazing what we hear when we really listen. And when we listen, not only is that good, but we can also respond well. And when we listen poorly, we often respond poorly. How we listen matters because also it helps us to respond well. And Jesus knows this. It's not just about listening, it's also about responding. And so at the end of the day, this is why, as we work through it, and you'll see a little bit more as we go through, but really this is why Jesus speaks in parables. It forces you and I to do a little mining, to do a little digging, and really to listen well. So we want to look at the first parable in the book of Matthew as we see Jesus and see really what Jesus wants to tell us. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to take them and turn to Matthew 13. And we're going to begin at verse 1 and read to verse 23. As well, remember that the next six Sundays are BYOB. As we said last week, it's not bring your own beer. It is bring your own Bible. So we want to encourage you, bring your own Bible to church because we want to really engage the book of Matthew together. And so if you don't have a Bible, let us know. And we'll see if we can hook you up with one. But our main objective really, at least for the word part, is to really engage. Not just to read, but engage the book of Matthew for this journey. And so Matthew chapter 13, we're going to read from verses 1 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak in parables? And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive.' For this people's hearts has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you, and we're so grateful for your word. But Father, I pray that as we look at your word today, that Father, we really don't want to just be hearers of your word, we want to be doers of your word. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just really have freedom in today's time that we're looking at this to work in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, as we read, we pray that your seed that you speak to us today would find good soil in our hearts and begin to be fruitful and to take root. And so, Lord, we want to open ourselves to you to do that. So give us ears, give us eyes to see, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer me out loud. Sometimes I invite that, but not this one. On any given day, if you were around during the time of Jesus and you were to hear him speaking, what would be the core of his message? What would you hear him talking about? What did he come to tell us? What did he teach about? If you were to sum up what Jesus came to teach in one sentence, what would it be? Would it be about love? Love God and love your neighbor? Would it be about forgiveness? What is it? Do you know what it is? What was the central message? Or as you have listened to Jesus teach over the years or through the Gospels, what have you heard? I'll give you just a second to think about it, but what is the one thing, the message of Jesus that he preaches? When we see this message, it gives us, a starting point to understand what else Jesus is saying, and it helps bring some context to us. Now, I'm sure most of you know this, so whether you could put it into a sentence or not, that might be a little bit tricky. But the core of the teaching of Jesus really is about the kingdom. The kingdom has come. If we look at Matthew 4:17, remember this comes right after this time in the wilderness. Jesus had been baptized, and then he went to 40 days in the wilderness, and it comes right after this time in Matthew 4:17. Just as he's going into public ministry, and it says this, from that time, as he's leaving, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And if you shoot down to verse 23, just a few verses down, it says this, "And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel," which just means the good news, and the good news of the kingdom. the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Matthew 5, Jesus sits down and starts his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And what is the first line of his sermon in Matthew 5, 3? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And in Matthew 9, 35, he's at it again. And Jesus, it says, went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Jesus is going everywhere, the cities, the villages, and he's teaching about the good news of the kingdom. But if that wasn't enough, when he sent out his apostles, his disciples, out to teach, he told them, hey, as you guys go, say the exact same thing that I am saying. And so in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, it says, as he's talking to his disciples, he says, and proclaim as you go. As you're going off, as he's sending them out, as you go, proclaim, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And why is this so important? The message of Jesus, that the kingdom of heaven has invaded the kingdom of earth. Jesus is here. If we rewind the tape a bit, well, actually we're going to rewind it a lot because, you know, it seems like everything sort of springs forward from the book of Genesis. And so we go back to the beginning, which bring context to the meaning and teaching of Jesus. And the message of the kingdom is good news and it's bad news. And back in the garden, when God first created the earth, this was his whole kingdom. He was the king. He created man, and he gave authority to man to rule in his kingdom, to create things, to name the animals, to subdue the earth. But man decided to rebel and said, essentially, you know, we don't want you as king anymore. We will be our own king. We will move out of that kingdom. We want to be our own king and have our own little kingdoms. We will call the shots. As we've said many times, we will decide what's good and what's evil. And so they did. And when Jesus comes on the scene, he says, the kingdom of heaven is here. Here is your opportunity to go back. In a way, to go back how things were in the garden, where sin did not come between us, where a relationship was unobstructed. In a way, it was kind of like a do-over, a second chance for people. Now, this may sound great to us, and it does, because we're all people that would say, yay, Jesus, and what you did. But it also means that this message brings with it judgment. That's the bad news. The authority, Jesus would say, under which you have been living, with yourself as king, can no longer be. Remember what happened after man decided to be king and call the shots in their kingdom, in man's sort of kingdom as his king. The first instance of man's kingdom, as it's been recorded in Genesis, is Cain killing Abel. The first example of man's rule as king is death and murder. As we know, Genesis continues to show us for the next few chapters the result of man's reign as his own king. When you look at Jesus' offer from a distance, it's a no-brainer. I mean, the garden life was good. We lived at peace. We lived connected with our Creator. We were provided for. But how many of you know that as much as we might agree with this, it is still hard to give up control of our lives? Still hard to give up kingship to Jesus. And so Jesus comes proclaiming this great news. The kingdom has come. And so you need to repent, which means what? It means to turn around or to turn from you being king and make Jesus your king. And then what Jesus does is because of our traitorous behavior in God's kingdom, he says to us, he says, listen, I know you're a traitor. I know you went against the kingdom. I will now take the punishment for your traitorous rebellion. And I'll take it on the cross. And then he makes you a new creation. In a way, just like you were when you first started back in the garden. The kingdom has come. And so what will humanity do? How will they respond to this news? The kingdom of heaven is here. As you begin to read through Matthew, you begin to see that not everyone jumps for joy. And when you look closer, you see that how we respond to this news is directly correlated with our heart. And so Matthew, he strategically puts the stories of chapters 11 and chapters 12 right before the parable that we just read. Remember that these Gospels, they're put together strategically. And so as you look at chapters 11 and 12, they're all stories of how people respond to this message in different ways. Some don't care. Some say, like, yeah, Jesus is here. Awesome. Others, like in Matthew 12, the Pharisees, they're trying to figure out a way to kill Jesus. And so some are indifferent, some are overjoyed, and some are angry. The kingdom of heaven is preached. Jesus is here. The kingdom has come. 54 times through the book of Matthew, the word kingdom is used. And so Jesus, he preaches the kingdom. He gets his disciples to preach the kingdom. And not just in word, but also in deed, through healings. I mean, it's kind of like as he comes along to people saying, this is what I have come to do, to recreate you spiritually. Just like I'm here, I'm healing you, I'm recreating you physically, I'm putting what the world has broken, and in this broken world of these lives that were physically kind of messed up, he comes along and he brings healing and restoration to those things. Just like what I do there, I'm going to do spiritually. And so people, they respond in different ways to this message. And then Matthew puts our parable right there. And Jesus tells of how people will respond to this message. And the key verse in this parable is not so much the different ways people respond to it, but it's found in verse 9 of our parable of chapter 13. It says, "He who has ears, let him hear." And what he is saying is that really the cookies are not on the bottom shelf. If your heart is inclined this way, if your heart is open to the message, as you listen to Jesus teach in the parables, you just start to say, hey, wait a minute. What's he saying? And you think about it, and you're drawn into it. And others will say, nah, this makes no sense, and just walk away. The disciples ask him in verse 10 of our parable reading today, saying, hey, Jesus, maybe you've asked the same question as the disciples asked. They came to him and said, hey, Jesus, why do you speak in parables? Why don't you just say who you are? Why don't you just say what you're about? Why are you not just clear? Why don't you just say, listen, guys, I'm the Messiah. I'm here. Done. Well, Jesus begins to explain this in the next verses. Essentially saying, listen, to those who have already rejected me, that don't want me as king, these parables actually push them away. But to those who want to hear, to those who want to understand who I am and what I've come to do, it draws them in. And as they are drawn in, more will be given to them. In a way, when Jesus talks in parables, these parables kind of separate those who don't want to know about Jesus, those who have hardened their hearts, and those who really want to understand who Jesus is. Verses 11 to 13 of Matthew chapter 13, it says, "And he answered them, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance." We'll have an abundance as we begin to mine the depths of these parables. I believe the Holy Spirit will open things up for us. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And it's not Jesus or God taking things away. It's the enemy that comes and takes stuff away because the seed just gets left on the hard soil. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And so as we look at the parables over the next few weeks, are they just stories that we use to teach kids some nice little lessons? No way. Parables have this dual purpose. If you really want to know more of Jesus and his kingdom, they will draw you in, and more will be given to you. The Holy Spirit, I believe, will open our eyes as we begin to be drawn in to the parables. But if your heart is hard and you don't want to hear it, it actually ends up taking you away, Scripture says. And so one of the questions here today is really, where is your heart? Do you want to be drawn into what Jesus says? Do you want to have your life transformed? Do you want Jesus to be your king? As we begin to read the book of Matthew, do you want to hear? Do you want to grow in your relationship and understanding of Jesus? Do you want to listen and respond well? Or have you already made up your mind? Where are you this morning? Do you have ears to hear? What happens when we don't listen? One of the things that happens is we think we already know. We have our own agenda of things. This conversation then, when I'm talking with you, if I have my own agenda, it really becomes all about me. And Jesus' words become like the teacher on Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. But if you listen well, with ears to hear, in the heart, it begins to change things. And I believe that this is the place that the Holy Spirit begins to open up the scripture to us. When I was a youth pastor, I used to do a leader training for all the youth leaders before the year began. I mean, it kind of makes sense. At least I thought it did. Before we start, you know, taking on the youth group and leading and going directionally, we should gather all the youth leaders together and let's teach about what it means to be a youth leader and how to work with teens. But it didn't work very well. And I would have people saying, like, later on, "Hey, what did you say again? What was that you said about that? Or how do you work with teens again?" Because they didn't need the information in the summer. All they heard from me lots of times was wah, 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 wah. And so then I changed to late October. I thought, I will sick the junior highs on them for a month and then teach. I taught the same things. And listen, they hung on every word. Oh, so that's what you do. Okay, because I'm dying in there. Let me write that down. It was way more productive because there was this heart that was set and ready to receive and ready to respond. You know, each of us, we come here this morning from a different place, and some are ready to hear, some are here and maybe ready to give up, to throw in the towel. And some come with large walls because of past experiences. But here in this parable, Jesus, he kind of calls us out, if I'm honest. You know, you might have some things going on. I get that. And Jesus comes along and he says, listen, I'm here. The kingdom has come. I'm here to offer forgiveness. I'm here to come and proclaim how to be healed and restored and changed and become a new creation. To come into this new kingdom, to come into this new life. But the question is, whatever you got going on, how are you going to respond to this message? That's up to you. And as we look at the first soil, he says, you know, some of the seed and I want you to know the seed is God's word. He says, some of the seed, what I'm saying is going to fall on this packed soil, this hard soil. And the birds come and they snatch it away. In verse 19, he explains this. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Now, the word here, understand, is not how we think of it. Like, they can't understand it intellectually or with their brain. Interestingly, there is no word for brain in ancient Hebrew. It's just this gray matter used to describe gray matter. So how do they understand? How do they to know things? They understand it in their heart. And so to understand in their understanding is about a whole life grasping and responding. And there are people that understand that they need to be rescued, that they need grace in their lives. And then there is the person that says, you know, I don't need to be rescued. I don't need grace. I'm just fine. It makes no sense to me. This is that person. How can the seed get in there when it's stopped right away? It can't. And who is that crowd listening? Who is that in the crowd listening that day? Funny enough, it's the religious people. It's the religious people. It's the Pharisees. And this is not about being religious or not being religious, coming to church or not coming to church. This is about the heart. They don't hear because they've already decided. Next is the Jesus fan. The people that like Jesus' Facebook page, thumbs up Jesus. Yay! I'm down with Jesus. I used to see those t-shirts. I kind of hated them that said, Jesus is my homeboy. There's just lots of, you know, yay, Jesus. And he's great. Look, I mean, he's healing people. He's a pretty great guy. But then something happens. And when it comes down to it, we think Jesus is great, but does it affect how we live? Remember how we talked about faith last week? And faith is not just a mental assent, but it's putting your trust in it. It affects how we live. Does it affect how you live at school and at work? Are you the same person here that you are in high school or university or work or home? Yay, Jesus. But when it comes down to it, you know, I don't want to risk my reputation. That might stop me from getting a promotion. That might stop me from getting accepted in a group of peers at school. I remember being actually at school, at high school, and someone coming up to me and said, do you actually believe that stuff? You actually believe that stuff? And I realized that at that moment, I was kind of making a decision as to whether I'm going to possibly subject myself to some minimal amounts of persecution. There's not really. But in my little world, it was at the time. Or would I just sort of go around and try to be like everybody else? We say, yay, Jesus, it lasts a little while, but really, when this stuff kind of starts coming at us, or you go through an experience you don't understand, and it just doesn't last, and we don't let the seed go down deep. I mean, you don't believe that, do you, really? What we are, really, at the end of the day, Jesus is saying, is we're shallow. See, Jesus, he kind of calls us out in these moments. Jesus had lots of people follow him when he was performing miracles. That was great. When that stopped and it started to get tough, how many followed? Verses 20 and 21, it says, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Oh, Jesus, you're awesome. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a little while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. The third soil is the kind of the same thing in a way. Its problem is that it has lots of other things already growing in the garden. And when we have a lot of weeds growing in the garden, guess what happens? Well, they steal the nutrients and all the water. They starve out the other plants. And Jesus, he names a couple of these: worry and anxiety, greed. But there are other things too that steal away from what Jesus wants to do in us. These weeds and thorns at the end of the day, these become who we are, and they become our identity. I mean, it could be bitterness. Maybe it is worry. I don't know. Maybe it is greed. But it's whatever it is, it's not Jesus. I mean, Jesus is nice, and yay, Jesus. But this is who I am. Listen, you can't expect this new creation to bear fruit if all of these other things are stealing nutrients from the soil. So what do we do? I think you have to deal with it. You start pulling some weeds in our lives. Start a weed pulling business. Don't just say, oh, well, that's who I am. That's just me. If you remember from our identity series a little over a month ago, that's not who you are. If anxiety or depression or bitterness or greed or whatever are hindering what God wants to do in your life, then begin the process to step out in faith and begin to deal with that. If you need to go to a counselor, do it. Begin to pull the weeds as you see them, as the Lord reveals them. Don't let them steal from you. The fourth soil is good soil. This soil is a person that sees their need. It's the person that sees how hopeless they are without Jesus, that it drives them to their knees. The Lord, help me repent when I need to. Help me to have soft hearts towards you. Help me, Lord, to pull up the weeds that would stop you from doing what you want to do in my life. When it's that kind of soil and God's word lands on it, it will bear fruit, God says. Lots of fruit. And I would say it's also not even so much of the other types of soil. It's not even so much of the hardness or the rock or the weeds that are the issue. It's our response to those things in our life. Do you just say, oh, well? Do you let your soil condition dictate what happens to the seed? Because when you see the soil of your own heart and you bring it to Jesus and you admit that you can't do anything with this. Yes, you know what, Jesus, I struggle with anxiety. I struggle with fear. I struggle with worry. I struggle with greed, Lord. But I'm bringing this with to you here today. And maybe this is the very thing that you say on your little card that I am trusting Jesus with. But you come to him and you admit that you can't do anything with this. And you say, Jesus, can you deal with the soil of my heart? That's the good soil. In that soil, Jesus can work. He can begin to do some wonderful, tremendous things. He's the best gardener you will ever meet. And he can take what the enemy would have meant for evil and turn it into something wonderful. He can take what you're walking through, maybe that's been your identity for so long, he can take that thing and he can create something wonderful out of it when it's given to him. The good soil at the end of the day really is how we come to Jesus, how we respond to the seed that's thrown. As we come to Jesus through the book of Matthew, as we listen to Jesus in the book of Matthew, as we read it through, as we work through some of these parables that will be somewhat, maybe a little difficult and cause us to really have to listen, how will you come? The question today really is the main verse of chapter 13 and verse 9. Will you have ears to hear? Because Jesus wants to, the Holy Spirit wants to illuminate Scripture and show you things. And this becomes such a very rich time. Where's your heart? And do you have ears to hear? Let's pray. Father, just as we have come to you today, we have looked at this parable that's here that you began to teach. Lord, you came to pronounce the kingdom. Kingdom of heaven is come. What an amazing thing that is. And I know that for most of us here, as we sit here, we have been changed by that announcement and that opportunity to come and to respond to you, but not everyone does. On top of that, Lord, as we walk through life, we acknowledge that sometimes as you speak to us and the seeds that you bring to us, sometimes they fall on soil that's not really ready to receive that seed. And Lord, I would pray for each one of us that not so much where we're at right now, but how we're responding. That we're inviting you to come and to rearrange the garden of our heart, to pull those weeds that need to be pulled, to break out those rocky things that maybe we found in our soil, or to break up that hard ground, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just want to invite you to come as we journey through this time together. Lord, to come and to change us, to transform us, Lord Jesus, to become the people that you have called and created us to be. And Lord, we acknowledge that we can do nothing to make that happen except surrender and give ourselves to you, to let the master gardener have his way in our heart. And so, Lord, we offer ourselves to you. We invite you to come and to do your work in our lives. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're glad you're here today and encourage you to pick up your little packet outside. We're going to have some prayer time. If you'd like some prayer this morning, we'd love to join with you in praying for that, those things, and you can. We'll be over here. Other than that, don't forget to mark off your prayer walk this week, right on the wall over there, the faith, or if you need to talk to someone at the info table about what on earth is even going on, go and do that. But may God richly bless you, and have a great week. Thanks for being here today.